And I need the script, Gabrielle. Oh, here it is. There you go. All right. I'm calling this Fort Point Channel Landmark District Commission public hearing to order at 6 p.m. on August 12, 2021. You can participate in this hearing by going to our Zoom meeting link found on the boston.gov public notices page or by calling 929-205-6099 and entering meeting ID 864-4568-0088 pound. You can also submit written comments via email to fortpointldc@boston.gov. So today the commission will be holding a public hearing to review design review applications in accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law. We are conducting this meeting online to ensure public access to the deliberations of the Fort Point Channel Landmark District Commission. The public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please hit the prompt, raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov. And I'll repeat these instructions when we open public comment. All right, so the commissioners that are present is, I didn't hear, Karoff is not here as well. So it's just Commissioner Rohde, Gorganian, and myself, Baraducci. All right, so the first is a violation, and that is application number 22.0127 at 253 Summer Street, and it's regarding the proposed work is to ratify installation of speakers, heaters, and additional lighting at the patio.
Yes, good evening, commissioners. Erin Doherty with Epsilon, and I'm going to be presenting on behalf of the project team this evening. I'm joined by Chris Jameson of Lolita and Eric Nesto from Synergy, along with other members of the project team. We were last before you in June to discuss the patio at Lolita, and at that time, you had requested that a new application be filed to seek approval for some additional items that had been added to the original portion of the patio that hadn't been included in that original application and approval for the patio back in 2018. So the team did take a look back at those approved plans and identified some additional speakers, heaters, and supplementary lighting at the original patio. And so we're seeking approval for those items today. As an update, a separate update at the June hearing, you had also requested some additional plans for the patio extension, which we had also discussed. Unfortunately, those were not included on tonight's agenda. So the presentation today will just deal with the original portion of the patio. Staff has indicated that we will be able to present those additional plans to you at the September hearing, but we are attentive to that additional request that you made. So if we can go to the next slide. This is the project site location, 253 Summer Street, and we're dealing with that area at the back of the building along the Harbor Walk. Next slide. So this is a plan view of the original patio as approved. It's just a reminder. We can go to the next slide. This is a rendering of that originally approved patio from our original application, showing the pergola structure and the lantern lights that were approved for installation. Next slide. This is a reflected ceiling plan view of the pergola structure, which shows the speakers and heaters that we are seeking approval for today. Both of these items are mounted to the beams of the pergola, sort of up on the underside of the structure. If you can go to the next slide. This is an elevation view of the pergola as viewed from the Harbor Walk, showing how the speakers and heaters are tucked up on the underside of the pergola out of view to the greatest extent possible. Next slide. This is a view from the south toward the pergola structure, again showing in profile view those additional speakers and heaters which have been added. The speakers are approximately 12 by 20 inches and 12 inches in depth, and the heaters are about 22 by 12 inches. So this style of heater that's tucked up is a little bit different from the more typical freestanding patio heaters that we've probably all been seeing at restaurants. So this is just a little bit smaller and more tucked out of the way. So this is just a rendering perspective view of the patio. You can go to the next slide. Another perspective view showing those items mounted to the underside of the pergola. Next slide. So we have a series of existing conditions photographs. So the speakers are the items that are tan in color and the heaters are black. So the heaters can be seen more clearly in some of the later photos. If we can move to the next slide. This is just a closer view southeast. So the heaters are in the center of the photo up in the pergola structure. And here you can also start to see the supplementary lighting that has been installed that we would like to seek approval for, which just consists of some commercial string lights attached to the pergola. Next slide. This is a view east into that patio area with one of the heaters right in the middle of the screen. Next slide. This is a view south from the entrance to the patio. Next slide. This is a view northwest into the patio from the bar area. You can see the speakers along the backside of that beam. Next slide. So view north from that same area. And view from the southwest looking into the patio from the Harbor Walk. So that is the end of our presentation, and we welcome your questions. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. The lighting that that's part of the application tonight is just for the string lights. It's not for those lights mounted on the posts.
Correct. So the kind of lantern style lighting, yes, was all approved in the original application for the patio.
All right. Has there been any kind of test about how many of these speakers do you need in order for the sound to be effectively heard throughout the patio? I mean, it seems like a lot of speakers. Is there, what's the rationale behind having so many?
Mm-hmm. Chris, do you want to speak to the restaurant's needs?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The speakers, we basically wanted to put the speakers on just two sides of the pergola. We wanted to not have them kind of down the middle. So we have them on the edge of the Harbor Walk sort of facing in, and then the speakers that are over the bar are sort of shooting down, at the bar guests. From as far as a quantity goes, we might be able to remove a couple of them. But to get the coverage on the patio, you really do need those eight speakers total.
Mm-hmm. Well, because can we get to one of the views of the patio that just kind of shows the whole patio in general? Because what I'm wondering is you've got speakers and heaters on basically three of the beams going across. You have them against the ledger against the building wall, you have them in the middle, and then you have them in the end. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if that all could be clustered just in the center, so that you've got you have the ability to put speakers on both sides of that center beam that would shed downward, and then likewise the heaters would do the same. I mean, the heaters are located in the center. I think that's all. You don't have any on the outside beam, do you?
If we could pull up back up, so pull up a picture where you can kind of see it all. The heaters have a very short throw.
Yeah, this is good here.
So the heaters have a very short throw. You'll notice those mounted in the middle.
Right.
So we really do just have those on sort of two beams. So you can see the heaters facing both ways on the middle beam, front and back. And then you just have speakers along, you have heaters along the brick wall.
Yeah.
We really do need the heaters in the configuration that they're laid out right now to achieve the coverage, because it's really only good for about 8 to 10 feet away from that heater.
Right.
As far as the speakers go, they could be moved to the middle beam and mounted that direction. That would throw more sound at the harbor walk. So the original intent was to mount them here, firing away from the harbor walk, just to reduce sound bleed as much as possible.
Well, I mean,
those could be moved to the middle.
I mean, I'm just thinking the ones that are the most visible are the speakers that are on the outside beam. And to me, it seems they would be more discreet if they were all clustered sort of in the center. So you had, you know, and that they were mounted high enough within that beam so that you don't necessarily see the speaker on the building side of that beam if you're walking along the harbor walk, so that I think that would help reduce some of the clutter and keep it all towards sort of in the center of the patio. If it could be reduced to, I mean, I see you have four in a row. You have basically four along the beam. Mm-hmm. And, I'm just thinking if you can get away with three, I think that would be a much better. It would lighten it up a little bit.
We could also paint the speakers, you know, if that's something
that's another thought too.
We could certainly paint them to make it go away.
I think they could be painted out a darker color. That would help. Maybe a color that's closer to the wood tone in that, you know, the value of the wood.
One of the other things that kind of drove these decisions is the proximity of any, you know, other elements, whether it's speakers or any other sort of installation near the heaters. I'm sorry. So, you know, with the heaters where they are, there are clearances that we have to maintain. So if we were to sort of reconfigure this to try and put everything clustered together, we would have to look at, you know, the tolerances that the manufacturers allow us to mount things near those heaters. So, you know, if we were to sort of reduce count and paint them out, that would be preferable. I think trying to cluster everything in the middle might get difficult just trying to maintain those.
Well, let me give you another idea then. Why is it that did you ever think of maybe mounting them within the joists going across so that they're, you know, the beams are the where you have them now, the joists are those members that are going perpendicular. So why can't you mount them up there and then have them sort of shed the sound more downward?
We didn't look at that. We could look at that. We would have to replace all the speakers because they wouldn't fit between the beams, the joists. I'm sorry. So
they wouldn't fit. Why?
The joists are, I believe, 12 inches on center or 14 inches on center. And then the speakers are 16 inches
wide. Well, you put them, I was thinking maybe they would be in a parallel manner rather than perpendicular to the, within the joist, but parallel to them. So, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter how long they are.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. No, I understand. We can look at that. We didn't.
Because I think it's these elements that are hanging down it's just adding to the look of clutter is what I think. Yep. If you can tuck them up within the joists and then just turn them so that the sound really goes downward rather than out. To me, it seems that's going to be plenty. I mean, it's going to be for music, I'm assuming, right?
Yep. Yeah. Correct.
I mean, I think that should handle your needs for getting that music to sort of flow within that space.
No, we'd be happy to look at that. That's probably something we could do. Yep.
All right. So I assume these stay permanently then in winter and summer. All right.
They do. Yes. Correct.
All right. The commissioners, do they have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, can you tell me, with this work that you're here for tonight, what was the impact on the building itself, the historic building, in terms of things having to be mounted or conduits or anything like that?
The conduit, if you were to zoom in, I don't know if you can zoom in, the conduit that we mounted for these heaters, all of the piping was run sort of in the pergola itself. So the ones that are back there, you see, hold on.
Oh. I was trying to zoom in and I didn't want to, so one second.
So only the heaters you see here were mounted right underneath the pergola on the brick. And that's the extent of which sort of this this installation.
But the power, where's the power coming from though?
We ran all that through the pergola. So that's all kind of coming out through the pergola and then feeding each one of those individual elements.
And not, but it has to come from the building at some point.
Yeah, well, we have a conduit that when we originally applied for this, you know, we basically pulled all of our power and everything out for one area.
So you just use existing approved.
Correct. Existing, yeah, the conduits that we brought everything else out through originally, we just used that same conduit through the building. Okay. We didn't create new penetrations.
Thank you.
All right. So then the heaters that are against the building, you said those are mounted in the brick.
The heaters that are right, yeah, the ones that you see right there, those are just screwed into the mortar joints of the brick.
And why did you not put them in the, I assume there's a ledger board against the brick?
There is, yes. There's a ledger right there against that. But if you'll notice the beam here that you see hangs below the, what's the other term?
You're using? Oh, the joist.
The joist, yeah. So there's a, let's see, the beam hangs below the joist. But the joists run into the ledger board that's attached to the building. So we don't have that same beam construction or the ability to mount below that over there.
And these are already in place.
That's correct. These have been in place for 3 years.
And you're, we can trust that these are the screws or bolts, whatever, went into the mortar and not the brick.
They did. Yep. So. Yeah. And the landlord made sure of that.
All right.
So what happened? How did this all get done without anybody coming?
I'll be honest with you. I just, the heaters were just a the moment thing. And I personally just didn't think to come back to the commission. So we just, that was on me and my fault. And it was just something where we knew we, you know, it was getting cold and we wanted to extend the season and we just put heaters out there and it wasn't top of mind to come back for this. So that's just simply my fault.
All right. Any other thoughts from the commissioners?
Not really. David, I think the idea of decluttering the sort of speaker array is really key. And it sounds like kind of the way it's, we've been proposing this, it's going to both achieve that end and also kind of keep the spillover, if you will, of sound out on the channel.
Yes, having it come down.
Public comment, actually, having it sort of point downward more than outward, if you will. So that kind of flawed that effort too.
Okay, because I think there was some comment last time about somebody saying that it was awfully loud, the music coming out of there, I think, but we can open it up.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, let's see if that comes up again, but that is a correct recollection.
All right.
And you can actually hear it from the post office. You know, everyone knows sound carries across water, but you can hear sometimes the music quite distinctly all the way across the channel of the post office.
Okay. All right. So before any motion is made, we can open this up to the public. Gabrielle, if you can throw that script up again here. Okay. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussion. So to do so, please use the prompt, raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov. I see Sarah has her hand raised. Sarah McCammon.
All right, for me to unmute.
Jeff? Yeah, we can hear you.
Thank you. Sarah McCammon, Fourth Point resident. Thank you for the opportunity to give some comments. The abundance of speakers, I do think by reducing them will help keep the noise decibels within the Boston noise ordinance. There's also two speakers that are directly into the brick and mortar of the exterior building. And I didn't know if that was something that it's facing outward toward the Harbor Walk and whether we could reduce some of those speakers that do face toward the Harbor Walk to increase the enjoyment of the Harbor Walk for those that are sitting or down at the pier or, you know, even just traveling through.
These are the speakers you're talking about or the
speakers, speakers I was talking about.
Okay.
So I know that there was discussion about reducing the number. Just don't know what the commission is recommending for a reduced number of speakers. And then on the string of lights, I know the commission requested that the string of lights be removed from the what I call the extended patio, the new patio. So I'm curious on what the commission thinks about having string of lights on the existing patio. I remember a very long commission discussion when the patio was first approved about the lighting. And the commission had asked for the lights to be reduced in size and in number. So I'm thinking mm-hmm. of the string of lights and how it ties into the newer patio that, you know, we should be, want a consistent look and have that string of lights removed. And then just an update on the extended patio. I know that there was some requests made at the last meeting about that patio, and it would be good to get an update on where the applicant is in complying with those requests on the newer extended patio, such as the umbrellas, the string of lights, the posts that were holding them, et cetera.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Anything else?
No, I think that is it. Appreciate your consideration. Great. And look forward to the patio plan when that is submitted.
All right, thank you. Joe, any other any emails at all coming through or?
No, I don't have any emails. Gabriella, have you gotten anything emails before the hearing?
No, I haven't gotten any emails.
Okay. So can I ask what the plan is for the extended patio and why we're not looking at that tonight?
Frankly, it just wasn't clear on the application to me that was being reapplied, presented to the commission again. So it just didn't make its way on there. I also see someone else raising their hand for public comment too. Joshua Johnson, if you want to go ahead.
Yep, I guess two quick comments or observations. The first regarding the speakers, I echo Sarah's concerns. I know the establishment was written up twice by the Boston police for noise violations. There was a separate licensing hearing committee about that. And the applicant presented their case and the facts around that. So I guess I don't understand why so many speakers are needed as well. And then similar to Sarah, I'd like to get an update as to the extended patio as I thought the commission requested certain changes be made. And I'm not sure if those changes have been followed through. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Is Aaron still on?
Yes.
Hi, Aaron. Can you tell us why the extended patio wasn't made part
of it? Sounds like it was on our end problem, David.
Oh. Yeah,
I think there was maybe some confusion because we now have like two separate applications for this project, one relating to the original portion of the patio and another relating to the patio extension. So unfortunate that we could not present both this evening. That was our intention, but we do have the plans together that you had requested as far as the landscape plans for the planting bed. Great. And also reducing the height of that planter along on the Harbor Walk side. So that reads more as a planting bed in that location.
Right, and there were some issues about we did talk about the eliminating the lights in that section as well, the extended section as well. So you're gonna have to come back, is that it for this other, for the extended patio piece or not, or what?
It's my understanding that yes, that we would be accommodated on the September agenda.
All right.
So can I just ask, so we had already said that to take the light, had already made the decision to take the lights out of the extended patio?
Yes.
So then have they been removed?
They haven't. I had thought that there was going to be something issued, and I guess that was, I just wasn't clear on whether we were coming back as a part of the whole thing or whether there was a sort of that partial.
Well, that's, yeah, I'm kind of trying to get clarity on that too. Did we?
I'm sorry, I was under the impression that this was sort of continued and that we were coming back and we were going to present today.
Yeah.
But if there are things that have been settled, just if you let me know what those are, we'll deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we did settle it, we should have certainly told you that. So,
I don't know if Aaron has, but I haven't.
Yeah, I think if it was regarding the lighting on the extended patio, I think we had said to eliminate those string lights.
Okay.
That, you know, it would be okay for the main part, but for the extended part, no. And that if you needed additional lighting, that maybe it would be handled at a lower level, like on the sides of the insides of the planters, you know, that were planned for that rather than have them up high. And because the point was we're trying to keep that view shed open through that area. So it would help just reduce some of that.
Okay. I'll have those taken down. That's fine.
Great. All right. So if there's no other comments or questions coming in, if we can get back to a photo that shows the patio again, I would like to see that so we can comment. Yeah, that's good. All right. So you have total, it looks like of the speakers, you have 8 speakers here. Is that what I'm seeing? A total of 8.
I think there's one more off screen to the right.
Yeah. So in other words, we see 3 on the back. Yep. Oh, so there's 5 altogether.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, I see the little, yeah, that's way too many. Wow. I can't believe that you couldn't get the same amount of sound. Well, first of all, we're going to mount these now inside, tuck them in the joists. But I can't imagine you need 5 in the front row and 5 in the back row. To me, it seems certainly 4 and 4 is.
Yeah, we could take one per out. That's fine.
I think that would be. That would be acceptable. And then you've already done the mounting of the heaters into the brick.
Yep.
So that is what it is at this point. It doesn't make sense to take them out now since the holes are already there and it is in the mortar. So at least that's a good thing. And I think that's all the comments that I had.
How many speakers are there total?
I think there's 10 right now, right?
I think there are 10.
Yeah, correct. You can see if we're able to go back further in the presentation to the plan view that way.
So my thinking is, and I don't think we can get involved with the volume because I just don't think that's our area.
Yeah, we're in front of the entertainment board on that now.
You might actually accomplish 2 things.
Yeah.
If you cut the number of speakers down.
That's fine.
So I would say 6 or 7, maybe, as opposed to 10.
Yeah, because it looks like the outside beam has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then there are 4 on the beam closer to the building. So we are now going to move them and tuck them inside the joist so that they won't be visible now or less visible. But I think, I just don't see. Maybe I'm thinking 4 and 4 is probably all you would need.
Well, it becomes about sort of coverage and how loud each one needs to be. It is really at the end of the day, because if they're more sparsely, you know, populated, then each one needs to be louder to get the same sort of effect in the middle of the space.
Mm-hmm. So that may be an effect that doesn't work in that location.
What's that?
That may be an effect that doesn't work in that location because of the way the sound carries. I mean, it may just be that kind of coverage is going to be. Seem excessive to anybody outside of the restaurant. So
the overall volume just needs to kind of come down a notch. Mm-hmm. You're saying, Susan.
So, I mean, that's something that we can, you know, that's something that we can control. And we're certainly working with the entertainment board to kind of set that level and what that appropriate level is. I'm amenable to removing a couple speakers, but you know, if we start pulling all of them out, it's I think just going to be counterproductive a little bit because,
yeah, I agree.
Well, nobody said to pull all of them out.
Yeah. No, not all of them. I just mean I would prefer the opportunity to take a couple of these out and then, you know, just manage the volume a little bit better versus, you know, stripping too
many. Yeah. I mean, particularly the fact that you've got, you know, six on the Harbor Walk side, that would, to me, be the worst scenario, because that's going to mean that much more sound pumping out to the public space. I would, it'd be better to have an even distribution or have the majority of the speakers towards the back wall. But in any case, I think 4 and 4, so total of 8 tucked inside the joists, and then have the sound come down rather than angle outward, will help a lot. And, because the reason this is an issue, because we've had, members of the public have complained about that being very loud.
Yeah.
And that's why we're bringing it up. So,
mm-hmm.
Regarding the heaters, I think they are what they are. You are showing them where you're putting them because you need to have that kind of coverage. Mm-hmm. I don't have an issue with that. Now, regarding the, what about the possible painting of the speakers?
I'll paint the speakers. That's fine.
Yeah, I think that would be great if you tuck them up and then you tone down that white to a tone closer to the wood. I think that would really go a long way. So. All right. If there's nothing else that the commissioners have, as far as provisos, I think we can form a motion with the provisos that we've already discussed.
Okay. Do you want me to
go for it? Go for it, Tom.
Okay. All right. Approve the proposal as presented with the following provisos: that the speaker count be reduced to maybe something more like 8 instead of 10. Mount them inside the joists, generally pointing downward as opposed to outward.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how that gets configured acoustically, but I'm sure you can work that out. Painting those speakers sort of something to make them blend into the wood surrounding them.
Mm-hmm. I think that was it, because we're not addressing the extended patio at this time. So the right. Lighting was part of this. So it looks like, we're accepting the string lights that are proposed here.
And is it possible, because Gabrielle, you'll send a letter following this, right?
Yes, I will.
Okay. Could you please include with the letter the outline of what needs to come before us and what doesn't, so we don't get into this issue again? Thank you.
All right. I think that forms the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. So Commissioner Rohde.
Yes.
And Gorganian.
Yes.
And chair votes yes. All right. Yeah, so the point of, I will just reiterate, the point of tucking them into the joist is to minimize their visibility. So I would hate to see them at the very bottom side of the joist so that they're still visible. The point is to tuck them up as much as you can and still allow the sound to come out, I think is the goal. So, all right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, the next application is application number 22.0120, Thompson Place, and the proposed work is to ratify removal of trees and pits along Thompson Place. So,
hi, good evening. This is Don Weiss. Should I go ahead and start?
Yes.
Okay. So our hearing was continued from June.
Right.
And we have Michael Shunta from the owner is with us again, Jared Burho, who was with Architectural Building and Restoration, and Matt Carlton was with us last time. I believe instead we have Todd Watson.
I'm sorry to raise my hand.
Yeah, Don, I think
looking at the wrong one.
No, I think, Don, your application is next.
Oh, for this?
After this. This I'm sorry, is still...
I was getting nervous, like speaking for us.
You're the applicant for
We'll make a better case for you. I'm sorry. I thought we were next on the agenda.
No problem.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for queuing that up. Good evening, commissioners. My name is Nate Turner. I'm presenting on behalf of the property owners, Cross Point Associates and Invesco. So we are here tonight to talk about the removal of the trees, and we could probably jump right into the next slide, which just gives a general bearing for those unfamiliar with Thompson Place. Connector Street between Congress Street and Seaport Boulevard. Go right into the next slide and we'll jump into a site plan. So this is an existing condition layout as it exists today. And so what we have here is you're seeing the parking spaces, the curb cuts, the catenary lighting. All of this has been done over the last year plus. So if we were to go to the next slide, we'll show you that, you know, one of the things that has evolved over time on Thompson Place is the acknowledging the pedestrian experience. As more retail is introduced onto the street and activating the sidewalks, there's just taking consideration into the circulation paths and the pedestrian flow. So what has happened over the years as the street is opened up, it's become more active, and as part of the situations that unfolded during 2020 with the pandemic, we were looking at everything from social distancing to just general pedestrian comfort levels, and the trees were taken out to help with all of that. At the time, we were hearing feedback from conversations relating to traffic officials and other agencies about opening up the street and how it would be welcomed by the city, and that there wouldn't need to be any formal permitting process because of it being a private way. So I think this was a matter of momentum building, and it's maybe taking our eye off the ball a little bit. So what you had here is a street view during the day. We'll show the next slide a similar view during the evening. It's a lot brighter than it used to be. I think the sight lines are clear, and as a connector between Congress Street and Seaport Boulevard, there's now a more continual presence on the street going from one side of it to the other. So before I go any further, because this is kind of new territory for us, is there a particular format or questions or things that you want us to answer in terms of existing conditions, photos, how we got here, or am I going on the right track?
You're on mute, David.
Yeah, I think this is fine. I mean, you know, we want to see the existing conditions and then what you're proposing.
Can
can we back up? Can we see some images of what was there before you took the trees down?
Yeah, sure. And can I just add, I'm sorry, this is Paul Conley, the director of asset management. Been doing this project since 2012. Just to add to what Nate said, we met with seven or eight city officials back in February 12th, 2019. They needed to get the approval to make the street one way and make it more pedestrian friendly. And just to clarify, we specifically asked all seven of them, what is the process? And they said, there is no process. You could cut them down tomorrow. And we decided, yeah, well, then COVID hit, unfortunately, and that seemed to be when all the office buildings were closed and the retail was still struggling. That seemed to be the perfect time to cut the trees down.
Yeah.
So just to clarify some dates and some of the other background. Sorry.
No, thank you.
And so, Sue, to answer your question, I think we might have mixed things up a little bit because we're showing basically two existing conditions. One is today and one was, what was there 2 years ago. So now you're looking at a similar thing where your street views two different directions. So I think there's another slide right after this. And it's just showing that, you know, over time, we realized that the trees had aged differently. Some of them had diseased. The tree grades were popping. And if you'll notice that there's kind of varying sidewalk widths, and suddenly the trees were growing at different heights because of the restricted access to light on this street.
Restricted access to what? I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. To daylight. Just some of the street configurations in the Fort Point district are narrower than others. So, for example,
right.
This one's different than some of the other streets, like A Street.
Sorry, Nate, I'm going to keep cutting you off.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Only because I've lived it, the other issue is that these trees were probably planted in the late 90s. I think when Thompson Reuters opened up back, that's why it's Thompson Place, back in when there was nobody down there. And these trees were just a hodgepodge of different trees. That's why I see some smaller, because they kept dying. And in hindsight, we probably shouldn't have put new one. I mean, it's just, we just kept putting in tree after tree and they kept dying. And then the other issue, I believe it's in the next slide, winter conditions, we've lost a few, maybe it was the one up. But when it snows out, I think it was these trees, they literally hang over cars. We actually, not here, but in another further down, we lost a couple of branches. It didn't hit a car, but there's also been issues with concern about snow loads and the trees falling.
Okay. So just so I understand, so this application or this violation is to address the removal of the trees, and that's it at this point?
Correct.
Okay.
Pretty much.
So is your presentation completed now, or?
I think the only other thing we have to show you, Mr. Baraducci, would be the grates were lifted.
Yeah.
And then the other one, Nate, is a picture of what the landmarks look like.
Yes. When
buildings were first built.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so you're not going to get any argument, honestly, from me about putting trees back on this street. Those trees did not belong there, and it is written in the guidelines that there should not be these streets and public ways should not be treated as avenues with trees lined up along the curb edge. And you can see how there's a much more improved look of the street when you see nothing but the building edges providing the street walls. Once, and then the shot with the trees in it, they start to obliterate the view of the architecture and they do absolutely nothing. So I'm, for one, happy to see them gone. And those sidewalks are very narrow, and those tree grates are not to code. So I personally feel you're not going to get an argument from me about their removal. And more said is that I don't feel that they should be replaced. I mean, the other commissioners might have another thought about it, and I'd be happy to hear that too. But you know, you could see how those trees were struggling. They were reaching for light, and they did absolutely nothing for the beauty and interest of that street, the streetscape itself. So
I'll be curious, Sue, to hear your side of the thing as well. I bounced back and forth on this for
one of the things that's so interesting about this district and why I love it so much is because it's totally different from every other district in Boston. Right. And so where we're always trying to beg people to put trees in other districts, there are a lot of places in this district where they are not appropriate. This was an industrial district. They didn't have trees there. My only concern is that, And this is not meant to be, I'm not castigating you, but just so everybody understands, our oversight did not change during the pandemic. We met every month, mm-hmm. and none of our rules went away. And so if there was an issue, that would not be a defense, because we're here, we're still, you know, we were hearing things all the way through. So but I don't have an issue with the end result either.
I'm sorry.
Is there anything? Sorry, just one last comment. Is there any sort of argument to be made for some trees, David and Sue?
The whole point of the
I'm not able to see all kind of views, so I'm just
curious
if there's any sort of scenario for that.
I mean, what the guidelines said was that. To refrain from putting trees in a rhythmic pattern along the back of the curb. And that okay. trees, if they are going to be introduced into this district, that they'd be better used and utilized in pocket parks or small areas within the district where there could be a concentration of the trees, and that they could be used as that space can then be used as a respite. But the trees should not be used as an element to enhance the streetscape, because the streetscapes are attractive enough as they are with the buildings going right to the lines. There was the issue way back. Yeah, there was an issue, you know, with our inability essentially to not allow trees on Summer Street. Metaphor again. It was a freight train that wasn't going to be able to be stopped. personally, again, I see the result of the trees. They haven't planted, and they are doing exactly what I feared they would be, and they are blocking the views of the architecture. And I think that they're, it's inappropriate. So, but with that said, those are Summer Street and Congress Street have always been sort of anomalies, and those are the main thoroughfares. So there have been always exceptions for those two streets. But in this case, I think, I used to work down there, so I know that street. I know how narrow it was, and those tree grates are awkward. And if, it just is not an environment. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're constantly bobbing and weaving down the sidewalk to get right. to get around.
Yeah. To
over the grade. It's just yeah.
So at the very least, they'd need to become accessible tree grates, so that you'd have to put new tree grates with much smaller openings in order for that to be compliant with ADA. But I'm sorry. So go ahead.
Just one last thought is there, in terms of the remaining, the pits, can we propose some solution to those? I mean, maybe they just need to be bricked over, or
they have them.
Yes.
They have. Okay. All right.
Well, I think I want to hear what the applicant is how they have planned to, repair the openings that were there for the trees.
Because we all see a whole bunch of clunky.
Can't leave it empty tree grates.
Yeah, no, it doesn't have to be.
Not empty, but you don't want to see things that are like obviously been bricked into. You know what I mean? Like little islands going down the sidewalk that are obviously not part of the original kind of flow of the brick, if you will.
Yeah, I believe if we go to slide 4, you'll go back towards the beginning, right. Towards a street view a little bit more. So on the left, right there, perfect, the street view.
Okay.
Should have waited when a few cars to help here. But on the left, in front of 35 Thompson, where Zipcar is, just to the left of that light blue Volkswagen, that's pretty much the condition where it's a full width brick sidewalk going up to the back of the granite curb. And where there was a tree grate, the city brick has been filled in so that there's no remnant or uneven patching. It's a continuous surface now. The idea is that it would want to make it uniform.
I think if you walked the sidewalk now, you would not even know where there were tree grates.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so that work has already been done. So that work has been completed already, that the patching up of the old tree grate, where the tree grates were. And I'm assuming you did a good sound base underneath that brick so that it's not going to start to hollow out and,
We had an engineer develop the scope of work.
Great. Okay. All right. So I just to, echo Sue's comments, yes, we were meeting all during the pandemic, so there really is not an excuse to have not come before us. And particularly, if you read through the guidelines, you would have come across the description of street trees and how they are discouraged, and you could therefore have come before us using that argument to present to us, and it would have not been as much of an issue. But
I understand.
Having things done without having us look at it is something that we have to address. So,
and I'm not trying to. Well, it sounds like I'm making an excuse. I did it all the time with my teachers, but we did meet with. I can tell you the date. It was the day before Valentine's Day. 7 city officials, because we did say, do we go to the parks? Do we go to landmarks? Where do we go? And 7 people said, why would you go to anybody? It's a private street. And one person was actually vocal and not mean, but said, why? So I'm not making excuses at all. I'm not begging for forgiveness. And it wasn't like, okay, now it's cold. When I say we did it in COVID, we did it because we knew there was going to be no one on the street. It wasn't to fool anybody or to.
I know that. And I'm not surprised you got the response you did, unfortunately.
Yeah. So.
I mean, I think we've always come before you guys as much as possible. whether it's administrative, we've always tried to do the right thing.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not trying to belabor it.
Yeah. Okay. So that's just want to ask a quick question. It's not part of what your discussion or an oral violation, but you did come before us about these catenary lights here.
Yes. It was part of, I think, the first slide we showed. Yeah, absolutely, right. We did. Yes.
And were these lights, the lights that are mounted on the buildings, are they existing? They've always been there?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot of, I mean, I just think there's, I'm surprised that you wanted to even put these additional overhead lights because there's so much light given off by these wall mounted lights. But nonetheless, it is what it is at this point. So
I think it was one of the ownerships went to, and I'm not being funny, went to a European country and said, this is a great European, you know, that.
Well, it is.
It's about the creating a sense of place.
Exactly.
Yeah. The ones that go across, yes. I mean, they're over in Channel Center as well. That was where they kind of were first introduced. So, but yeah, I like them, but I just think when that one shot that you had of the nighttime shot of the street, it was like, wow, it's blazing with light. So anyway, all right. So I guess that's, and there would be, Joe, help me out here as far as how do we deal with this then? Is there a motion of some kind?
Yeah, you make a motion to ratify the work as it's been completed.
Okay.
So that's what their application was. They submitted an application to approve the work as completed.
And I didn't open it up to the public, so let me do that now. Members of the public will now have an opportunity.
David, all of a sudden you're muted.
Sorry. the guy upstairs has been vacuuming and he's been throwing this thing around, and I was concerned that was coming through. All right. So members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov. So I don't see any hands.
Sarah, would you like to make your comment, please?
Sure. Sorry, I didn't know if Tom was going first. Yes, Sarah McCammon, Fort Point resident. So there were 14 trees that were moved, and I can understand how they aren't part of the historic character. But to the chair's position, point that they be clustered in areas where they could be. There is the area, the plaza, the new plaza that is at the end of Thompson Place between Trader Joe's and the new Yotel Hotel. And as we've just, gotten the report from the UN on the climate change being accelerating at a faster point than any of us want to consider, and the value of trees to fighting climate change and heat island effect. And talking to a number of neighbors in advance of this meeting, there was interest in understanding a couple of things. If trees could be put there. So these, to add back on the property, but would not be obscuring the historic view. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of interest in having some sort of reparation given climate. And so I would like to offer that up as a suggestion for there to be trees. And New York has had success potting trees. So that's just another consideration. Thank you.
Sarah, I thought you said you had two things.
Oh, I think that was
okay.
It. I misspoke.
No, that's all right. That's a great suggestion. I didn't know what areas trees could be put in off top of my head when I was thinking of that. But if that is, I know that space, there would need to be some, they'd have to come before us again. I would encourage that, actually. I think that's a great idea, but it would be important for them to have somebody like a landscape architect hired just to help them decide where the trees might be best utilized and placed in that space. And I'm not sure who the ownership of that particular space is at this point either.
It's Invesco and Crosspoint. It's us.
Oh, it's you.
We will absolutely look into it.
Is that something you could do?
I would absolutely look into it. And I'm not the hurdles we have, but we'll look at everything. That's our centerpiece, that plaza with Pillium and the Trader Joe's. We put up some nice seating. We used old 100-year-old wood, I remember, Nate.
Yeah.
So the biggest hurdle there will be just understanding the property lines and how much. Like for example, Trader Joe's has rights to certain areas of the plaza, so does Trillium. But absolutely, unequivocally, we'll hire someone to look into it. Absolutely. Okay. I'm not going to say we're using them, but we use Halverson all the time. But
That's great. We look forward to that. So that was a good suggestion. Thank you, Sarah. Are there any other comments coming through?
Yes, Tom Reddy, if you'd like to go.
Thanks, Gabriella. I guess just a general comment to the entire commission. I recognize, I'm Tom Reddy from Fort Point. I'm a Fort Point resident, apologies. I recognize the decision is being made with regard to the view or the lens of the existing guidelines as it relates to trees in Fort Point. I would ask, strongly suggest that the commission and the city rethink those guidelines. Arguably, our neighborhood is ground zero for resiliency impacts for both sea level rise and rain-induced flooding. This particular street, frankly, is below the 2070 targets for flooding, sea level rise, and it's an acknowledged area where there's a tree desert, if you would, within the city. So it appears to be a little disconnected from, we've got serious concerns as property owners about the impacts of sea level rise, yet because of concern over impacts to architectural views and designs, we're not necessarily willing to take the appropriate remedial steps to attempt to try to remediate some of those steps. So I'm not quite sure how the board would consider taking those types of steps, but clearly the residents, I believe, would and if a petition is needed or signatures are needed to bring that forward for consideration, we'd be happy to do that. But clearly, I think what we'd like to do is to have those conditions re-examined. Thank you.
All right. I thank you. I'll respond to that. What looks like is going to happen here now, and what we encourage is that there be not that there be no trees, but the trees be clustered in areas that make more sense for them, and that they can best be appreciated by the pedestrian and the public, and that would be in these little side areas, little pocket parks and such. And so that looks like that's what we're going to do to make a change to the guidelines. That's pretty monumental. This is a document that is, was painstakingly put together. It was voted on by the commission, and then the city council has to address it and vote on it, as well as the mayor has to sign off on any changes or revisions made to the document. So it's not something simply a series of signatures. And I do think it's still appropriate to have this clause in there, because the original concept of creating these documents was, what can we do to best preserve the character defining features of this district? And the character defining feature is buildings right up to the property lines with no street trees enhancing it or blocking the view. That's what creates this very industrial character to this district, and quite frankly is what makes it unique in its appearance to other areas in the city. So I appreciate your concern about that, and if we can put the trees in areas that make more sense rather than along the curb edge, I think is the best way to handle that. So
I do want to answer, since you asked, though, if essentially to change the guidelines is in many ways like starting a new district. You have to walk through the same steps.
Yeah.
So you have to have the petition, and then it goes through a public process, and a study committee is formed. And we're doing, it's what we're doing right now for Highland Park. So it's, it's not that it can't be done, but it is a fair, as David said, it's a very significant process in terms of workload, and it also requires a lot of community work too. So, you know, that would be, I guess, for people in the neighborhood to decide if that was something they want to take on.
Thank you both.
All right. Thank you. And so is that it for comments?
Can I just interject really quick? I sent a couple comments, emails, and I have to jump. Thank the commissioners, and I apologize for this interruption, but I just wanted to make sure that you received it. I sent it to the landmarks and to you, Gabriella, directly. Okay, thank you.
I mean to stop the, okay, thank you.
No. All right, so we can have a, if we can form a motion around this. I mean, I think we've talked about a lot of things here, but I think just to recap, it looks like, the trees have been removed, and the mitigation for the pits, the tree grates and pits have been already addressed. And so it looks like now the applicant has agreed to look at an area closer to Trader Joe's and behind the hotel as a possible placement for trees to mitigate those that have been lost on the street itself. So that would be something that would, I guess, be part of a provision or a proviso. And I think that would be it then in terms of what we need to address. Having said that, I guess I will use that as the motion. How's that?
That sounded like a motion to me.
All right, so that would be the motion then to allow for the trees having been removed. Happy that the applicant came before us to explain what happened and why they did it, and to come back with us and come back before us with a plan to show how maybe trees can be incorporated into that area that we talked about behind the hotel and the Trader Joe's space there.
I'll second that.
All right, so Commissioner Rohde.
Yes, both yes.
Yes, Gorganian.
Yes.
And chair votes yes. All right, thank you.
David, now, I sent you a chat. Did you?
I saw that. So okay. How are we going to deal with that?
So unfortunately, we're going to lose our quorum of commissioners. So what we're going to have to do is continue all of the applications. So David, if you could make a motion and read each of the application, you know, number and address, to continue to our September hearing. And then I think we'll have enough time to approve the admin and the minutes.
All right, so basically the three.
Mr. Beriducci, I apologize for interrupting. Yep. We have a continued hearing and just a blessing of our plans. I suspect we can get through it in 60 seconds. Would that be okay? We thought we were on the July hearing. There was some mix up. This is 370 Congress Street. We're replacing the chimney in kind.
All right. Well, we're going to be losing Tom Rohde. If can you stay on, Tom, long enough to get through this one, and then
certainly 60 seconds plus. Yeah,
go for it. Talk fast.
Thank you. Yeah. Well.
All right. Well,
keep it to 60 seconds.
All right. Let me read
the presentation.
Hold on. Yeah, David does need to read something.
So we're going. This is application 21.0994. This is 364 to 372 Congress Street. It's a continuation from the June 10 meeting, it's regarding remove existing smokestack at roof and install new roofing system, install new flashing and moldings to match existing. Is that the one? Yeah. Okay.
Yes, indeed.
So go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, commissioners, for your indulgence. As I said, we'll be quick. The drawing you see in front of you is both the existing and future conditions. We will replicate the smokestack exactly in kind. We will come to staff with the brick specs, but we will use brick that has already been used on the building for prior replacement. We'll use the same mortar that's already been reviewed by staff, but we'll bring it back, make sure staff is comfortable with that product. We had discussed last time putting a timber frame up for the inside of this chimney and then coating it in high quality face brick to match the rest of the building. The other open issue we had last time, we were asked if we could salvage the bricks from the existing chimney. The exterior face bricks are in quite bad shape. Many of them are split today. The tie the bricks that tie the Y's together go back into the chimney. Many of those are broken. A number of the other bricks are cracked. There's spalling taking place. Some of the interior bricks are in better condition because the exterior bricks took the beating, but it's a different quality of brick. The higher quality brick was used for the face brick. The interior bricks are a lower quality and not suitable to use as face brick. Because we want the new replacement chimney to wear well, handle this very exposed position, we're proposing to use all new brick, but again, brick that will match what's already been approved for work on the building previously. So that is our presentation.
Okay. And commissioners, I'll add really quickly, just as an amendment to my staff comments, I recommend an approval with provisos.
The provisos are?
I'm sorry, an approval.
An approval as presented.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Just they had, you know, submitted a report saying that the bricks were deteriorated beyond
reuse. Yes, Yeah, and I do, and I recognize the interior brick would have been different from the exterior in terms of their quality. So I understand that. So
yeah.
So if we're not going to lose Tom, we got to get move along here because we need public comment too.
Yeah. So I if we can put that script up again. Okay. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov.
So, all right, Tom Reedy, would you like to make your comment?
Yeah, simple comment. Just needs to look as it does existing. So concern would be if bricks do get swapped out, that the look from the street is similar or the same to what exists. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And I have
and Sarah McCammond wrote in an email because she couldn't remain. That, you know, she has concern about the loss of smokestacks in the district.
Yeah,
but we're not going to lose it.
We're not going to lose it. So that's good.
You're not going to lose it.
All right. Is that it, Gabrielle?
Yes. There's no more comments.
All right. So. I'm very
first
happy.
First of all, can I just say thank you
for
saving the smokestack?
Yes, thank you. It's very much appreciated, and I think it's going to look great. And so all I would say is, obviously, when you select the brick, you make it as close to the existing as you can, and that the mortar also match the existing mortar color that is there. So,
yes, it'll look great, and we'll show the staff the materials before we start.
Perfect.
The work, but this will look like $1 million when we're done.
Thank you. Oh, that's going to be great. All right. So the motion would be to accept the application as it was presented, with the proviso that they show staff the brick selection and the mortar color selection.
I'll second.
All right. So basically, Tom Rohde.
Lead me to it. Both yes.
All right, Gordanian.
Yes.
And chair votes yes. All right, thank you, Mr. Weiss.
Thank you very much for kindly hearing us. We really appreciate it.
Okay. Now, Joe, you said I need to read these in if we're not going to be able to get to them. And
yes, and then we have to have a vote to continue them.
To continue. All right. So first of all, our apologies to these last three applications. So this is, we're going to have to continue these next three applications in the next hearing next month. And that would be application number 22.0113 at 22 Thompson Place regarding the proposed work. Proposed work is to install new signage at main entrance on existing sign band. The next is application 22.0072 at 300 A Street. This is the proposed work is at the main roof, demolish one RTU and install three new RTUs. And the last is application 22.0125 at 12 Farnsworth. The proposed work is replace existing loading dock and stairs at rear of building at roof, repair two brick headhouses, install mechanical equipment, and expand existing mechanical penthouse. So the motion would be to defer these to the next hearing next month.
So moved.
All right. So Commissioner Rohde, if you're still there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
And chair votes yes. All right. Again, our apologies to these three applications, but this occasionally will happen. So
David, could you do the administrative?
Yes, I will. We have one administrative approval. This is an application that came before the staff, and it was approved administratively, having determination having it adhered to the guidelines. And I'll read it in, and after reading it in, we'll vote to accept their finding. So that was application 22.0118, and this is 11 and 47 Farnsworth Street, and 12 to 44 Thompson Place. And it was regarding repoint all facades, replace, reset displaced brick, replace window sealants, replace and paint corroded steel. So the motion is to accept that.
So moved.
All right, and second, okay. So I'll just say all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
None opposed. Okay, so that's in. Do we want to postpone then ratification of these?
Yeah, I think we have. Yeah,
we're going to need to. So, all right. So then we're left with quickly any staff updates we need to know?
Not really that I can Nothing? Think of.
Okay. All right.
I do see, Aaron, do you have a question? I sent you a chat. Is there something I can answer for you now?
Yes. Sorry. My chat seems to be disabled. On behalf of the project team for 12 Farnsworth Street, understanding there's no longer a quorum for tonight's hearing, is there any opportunity for us to present the application in an advisory or informal capacity this evening with the commissioners who are still present this evening? We would welcome any feedback on the proposal.
No, because we're not going to have a quorum. We're going to have to close the hearing.
Yeah, I appreciate what you're saying, Aaron, just because we don't necessarily need to take a vote on advisories, but it wasn't introduced into the agenda as an advisory. And I think that's partly the reason why we can't at this point. So again, I apologize. I hate to see this happen. It's not fair to these applicants that have come here and prepared for this evening, but it's out of my control at this point. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. So with that said, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Sure.
All right. A second.
So moved. All second.
Right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
None.
Thanks,
right.
Everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Yep. Have a good night.